The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, IR Radio, YouTube TV. However you take this in, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin, live from Baracanada, the barrage here in downtown Las Vegas at the D. Still to come this hour. We're going to have Jason Weingart from Under a Cloud of Smoke. Stormy Bonatoni with a Zen moment. That's always exciting. And Will Hill momentarily here. We get tweets here at Beating the Book.
Stormy on with us before end of the week, too.
Oh, is that right? Oh, yes. Nice.
For UFL championship game.
Of course. She made some great call on the broadcast, right, where she said first touchdown, like 15-1, and then it hit.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. It was like a big deal.
Oof.
Yeah.
Stormy.
Nicely done. Chance Copperpot on Twitter. We get tweets. Friday mornings, I take myself out for some handicapping and biscuits and gravy at a local dive. They always have MTV Classic on with the sound off. I feel like I'm in a video time machine. It's fantastic.
That sounds like a great morning right there.
It does. Man. Jason Stark. Hey, Gil, it's not really as complicated as you make it. Talking about the bracket.
I actually thought you broke it down rather well.
I did too.
Yeah.
He says two separate brackets. If you win, you advance. If you lose, you get dropped into a loser's bracket. If you lose again, you're out. Didn't I say that?
If you keep winning,
you'll play that team that never lost.
The part that's confusing on the opening bracket is it almost gets simpler once people start to win and lose, right? Because then you start to separate into the winner and loser.
You just can't lose twice. Steven Vegas, I'm sorry, but despite Nathan's stock shooting up 25 cents this morning, there are a bunch of self-sabotagers. It's like David Stern private banning MJ in 94 for gambling. Oh, wow. Screw the wieners.
They really are self-sabbing. Like, what are they doing?
Screw the wieners. It's time for a Japanese holiday sushi eating contest. Do you know a place? let's bring Will Hill in here. Ladies and gentlemen, he is the host of the Shoulda Bet More podcast. And, of course, he's part of the Bear Bets pod over at Fox Sports with Chris Felica. It's our own Will Hill, at not the Will Hill, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. And before we get all his thoughts on all these different sports and his bets, Kelly and I were just having this conversation off air. About the new kickoff rules in the NFL. And I'll speak for you, Kelly. You tell me if I'm wrong here. I feel like it's like one big... It's obviously everybody's favorite sport. It's the sport that we're most immersed in, the NFL. But I feel like I still don't quite get it. And that it's going to require me to watch it, right? To lay eyes on it before I can draw any conclusions. Because Kelly was sending me some... These things you were sending me the other day.
Yeah. I'm trying to pull it up right now.
We've seen articles with like they're gonna have to sign 1,600 more NFL players. We're like, what are we talking about 1,600? That's the whole population of the league. They're gonna have to have kickers that are specifically designed to kick these, or current kickers make 25% of the tackles.
Yeah, that was the XFL stats, right? Because they're taking the same setup from the XFL, and kickers were involved in tackles 25% more of the time than the NFL.
Those guys didn't sign up for this.
No, I didn't.
Well, I mean, do you feel as sort of behind the eight ball on this as we do?
A little bit. I've heard Steve Fezzik talk about this, and he seems to think, you know, you can maybe add a point or so to the totals just because instead of starting, what was the average starting position? I don't know. You can bump it up by maybe 4 or 5 yards. And he, you know, he's compared it to these other leagues where they use this rule where you don't get a lot of like returns for touchdowns, but you get a lot of like solid returns. He thinks maybe some of these teams will just kick in the end zone. Hey, start at the 30. I don't want to have to think about it, deal with it. So it'll be interesting. I'm with you. I need to see it before I can actually picture it in my head. I guess it's sort of similar to a rugby scrum where the ball has to be wait to be caught before anybody can do anything. So I don't know. I guess the ideal strategy is to just kind of get it close to like the one and then just, you know, try to kick these ugly line drive, maybe not even use a kicker to do it where you just use these quirky like knuckleball kicks and try to get a bad return that way. But it'll be interesting. And I don't know, teams during the preseason, are they going to tip their hand in terms of how they're going to play during the regular season? Or are they going to not anything? Just in the preseason, we'll just kick it through the end zone. We're not going to let you know over the window. I don't know.
I think it's also team by team, right? Because you're
for sure.
I know Justin Tucker's been talking about it, and like I think him the idea of him making tackles. Like, hey, if I'm the Ravens, I'm sorry, Justin Tucker, kick it out the back of the end zone every time. We will give it to them at the 30.
That's right. You know, that's exactly right. So it will be team by team. That's a great point about the preseason, Will, as with all these things. But this specifically, and I don't want to, like, this is one, I guess what I'm saying is this is one of those things that I don't want to even act like I have some insight on. I know others do, but I don't even act like I do. You got to see this first, and it will be so nuanced, I think.
Yeah, and I'm glad the return is somewhat part of the game, because there's dead parts in the game where at least the extra point is something now. But commercial, kickoff, touchback, another commercial where it's a lot of dead time. And just mentioning the preseason, it's June 12th, so
yeah, baby,
not that long. I mean, we're 6 weeks from the Hall of Fame game. I think it's August 1st this year. So I don't know, with your vacation schedule, it's only like 4 shows from now. we'll have the Hall of Fame game.
I was waiting for it. I was like, "Hit! Here comes 3, 2." I knew there was a punchline. All right, Smarty Pants, are you doing anything NBA Finals, or have you punted on this?
I bet Celtics when these injuries were piling up, like -150. Not that I got some great number. Then I took Mavs in 7, trying to middle it. I kind of gave up on the Mavs in 7 part. Maybe I'm still alive. I don't know. I was pretty confident. I was doing these hits Monday and Tuesday before the Porzingis news. I was pretty confident Boston was going to get one, if not both of these games in Dallas, just because I thought it just looks like such a bad matchup for Dallas, where everybody on Boston can shoot 40% from 3 and defend. But that was with Porzingis, who can stretch the floor, who can protect the rim. If we don't get Porzingis, and I'd say 60-40, he doesn't play, although I don't know. I mean, who knows with this stuff? Maybe that opens the door a little bit for Dallas to get. I think they need both of them. If they get one, they're probably dead going back to Boston for Game 5. So I didn't play anything for tonight. If I did, it would be probably still a Dallas team total under, just because there's just not a lot of shooting. Boston, not only is the percentage bad for Dallas, you could say, hey, at home they'll shoot better. There's some truth to that. They're not getting the attempts. I think it's only 54 attempts in 2 games. The attempts are the key, because Boston's gotten up 81 attempts. It's almost like throwing the ball deep in football, where you need to get your shots. And if you're not allowing the attempts, it's hard to get enough makes. It's just about the volume. And I thought, did you guys see this? Jrue Holiday, who I think is still live for MVP. I talked about him before the series at 50-1. I think, I know one book had 100-1. And then after game one, he went to 120-1. I still think he's live at +750 for a lot of different reasons. But he had a good line. I don't know if it was after game one or game two. He said, somebody asked him about the defense. He goes, even our white guys can defend. That's how good our defense is. It was so totally straight face too. It was funny. But I like your bet about Holiday. Yeah, +750. I still think there's value there, where he's a good guy. He came from the Bucks, who won a championship. The Celtics, there's this narrative that, hey, they can't get over the hump, and now Holiday's the missing piece. We don't love Tatum. It usually goes to the star, but Tatum's not going to win it. Brown just got his award in the conference finals. I think Holiday at +750 is still too long.
Yeah, so do I. Started the show with it. Just can't bet it here. Come on, are we booking or not?
We got a tweet that we could bet it at Betfred here in town, but I don't even know where I go.
Virgin.
Oh, is that where they got Betfred?
Bro, are we going to go to Virgin and make a bet at Betfred? Is that what's going to happen after the show
we
today?
We did get a tweet about it.
Wow. The ghosts of the Hard Rock.
Book of all those places in Vegas, you don't have one place that will take finals MVP?
Bro, this is the thing. It's like, here, I'm giving you my money. It's likely to lose. You don't want it? Okay. I don't get it. I actually texted Chrissy this morning, right? Chrissy Andrews. I texted him. I go, is there some rule where this can't be up? He goes, no, there isn't. And I think he's right, because it was posted before the series, right?
Yeah, I mean, I bet it. Yeah. I bet Luka before the series.
Yeah, I don't get it. All right,
that's actually amazing. Not one. I mean, all the books, Circa, South. I mean, there's anyone that's been to Vegas. There's a million casinos. Not one that would take it is actually like just mind blowing.
Unless they put it up while we've been on the show. By the way, Mavericks up to 3 now in some spots. Up to 3 tonight's game. All right, baseball. What do you got today, sir?
Figuring out how to play the Astros. I want to fade Webb. I know he's got a 2.9 ERA, but all of the underlying stats are really bad. I didn't realize how hard he's getting hit. I mean, his expected batting average is around 300. His exit velocity is in like the first percentile. That 2.9 ERA is not going to last based on how hard he's getting hit. So here's the problem with trying to fade a specific pitcher. There's so many markets now. It's almost the opposite problem with these East Coast books. I don't know. Do I want to play under outs for Webb at 19.5? I think I do. Do I want to just play the Astros on the money line? Do I want to play over runs for Webb allowed? There's so many ways to get at it. Todd Wishnev is famous for saying how he has the right theory of a bet, but he figures out a way to lose. He plays a team total instead of whatever. And I know coming up in the next segment, you're going to read Todd Wishnev's text last night from the WNBA recap from last year. So that'll be interesting.
100%. Yes.
I'm looking to fade Webb under 19.5 outs. I'll take Astros on the money line.
It's so funny you said that. Just like with the Guardians, Kelly, where I bet them every day in March, April, and May, I'm betting the Astros every day here as well in my bet on June. Yeah, they're 6-4 so far, so it's worked out.
A little bit of money.
A little bit. Okay.
So, by the way, I was dozing off when Wishnev was texting some of that. There was a bunch of points at the end of a WME game. No, it was like he had 158.5. They scored 15 with like a minute.
He had an under in the WNBA last night. Don't ask me the game, but it was at exactly. It was 158. The total was 170. There was only like a minute and change left, and it soared over. And Wishnev just blasted us with text. Like, I've never seen anything like this before. Did you see what happened? None of us saw it. Right. So we're just like, oh, man, I'm sorry.
I saw this tweet from Kenny White earlier. This is the same one he's talking about. It was L.A. and Seattle. He had under 82 for the second half. Seattle up 14 with less than 20 seconds left. Both teams score 5 points each. To hit 84 in the second half, no dribble out. Seattle hits a 35-foot buzzer beater.
That was the one. Anything else, Will, before you go that you're betting on these days? You got 30 seconds.
I added Kling into the draft. I've heard enough of it. I had Ben Wilson on the podcast. He likes it. He's heard enough buzz. He knows these G League players. I think he can still get 9-1. I see a 9-1 out there. There's just enough uncertainty with how bad the draft is. And plus, Atlanta's a weird team where they're not rebuilding. They're not contending. They got these two guards in Young and Murray. Who knows? They might trade one of them, but I think Klingon is live here. That's going to be interesting in a couple of weeks. That draft is sneaking up on us with what these books want to book with the draft, because there's so much uncertainty. Nobody knows these players. The players aren't any good. There's so much variance with it. That'll be something to keep an eye on. But that's it's coming up pretty soon here. So Klingon to be the first pick is something I've added.
Wow. Zach, JVT, and now Will on Klingon to go number one.
I'm betting it too.
Are you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Zach and JVT bet a while ago.
No Zachary Risachet to go number one? No. No Alexander Shah? Whatever these people are. All right. Will, thank you. At not the Will Hill again. Should have bet more. Thank you, sir.
See you guys.
US Open with Kelly next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's a numbers game. I'm Gil Alexander. Coming up, we're going to talk U.S. Open. But first, here's Stormy Bonatoni with your moment of Zin.
This is your betting moment of Zin, brought to you by Zin Nicotine Pouches. Find your moment of Zin at Zin.com. Stormy Bonatoni here with VSiN, the sports betting network, diving into the odds for the NFL's Offensive Rookie of the Year. To the surprise of no one, number one overall pick Caleb Williams is the shortest shot to claim the hardware at plus 135. The Bears QB is set to be a day one starter and has plenty of skill position talent to work with. DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, and fellow top 10 pick Roma Dunze, to name a few. And the Bears on paper have one of the weaker strength of schedules. From one former Heisman Trophy winner to another, Commanders QB Jaden Daniels is next on the odds board at plus 650. Daniels' ability as a runner should help his case, especially with new OC Cliff Kingsbury in tow. Marvin Harrison Jr. is set at 7-1, followed by J.J. McCarthy 12-1, Malik Nabers 18-1, and Drake May 22-1. This has been your daily betting moment of Zin. Learn more about Zin smoke-free nicotine pouches at Zin.com. Warnings: product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Zin is intended for adult nicotine users over 21 years of age.
Thank you, Stormy. From grown-worthy dad jokes to patching up skin knees, your dad is one of a kind. This Father's Day, give him a gift that's guaranteed to take him to his happy place. Omaha Steaks packages starting at $99. When you go to omahasteaks.com and use promo code VSIN at checkout to get $10 off your order, show your dad the love he deserves with a gift as unforgettable as he is. Visit omahasteaks.com and use promo code VSIN at checkout. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Billen.
Do you think you'll ever be able to hear the word Omaha again and not think about Peyton Manning yelling it?
It's a great, I thought you were going to go with Omaha Steaks, but I was about to say, no, Peyton Manning screaming Omaha.
That's all I can think. That's really all I can think of whenever I hear
that. Because he did it with that Peyton Manning voice.
Omaha!
Mm-hmm. Just like that.
Just like we're Peyton. Basically
it's
the same guy.
It's like Peyton was sitting right here next to me. We get tweets of beating the book. This is from Eric at EFeezy450. All right, EFeezy. Hot dog producers are missing out on a huge opportunity to match up Kobayashi versus Chestnut to destroy Nathan's stronghold on hot dog contest. I'm looking at you, Hebrew National. Your dogs are already superior. That's great. Buddhist man, we love Buddhists. Watching today on a 30-minute delay, I was rushing to my Twitter machine, copyright Anthony Irwin Kornheiser, to make the exact Secretariat versus Joey Chestnut comparison that you did, Gil. I was even going to work in a Joey Chestnut is chewing like a tremendous machine, which is how Secretariat was described down the stretch of the 1973 Belmont Stakes. And then the numbers, guys. Morning, gang. College World Series is 4 from the ACC and 4 from the SEC. Dang. I long for the days of Cal State Fullerton and Long Beach State. Then again, one of them may very well be in the ACC now. That A is for Atlantic Ocean, right? That's very good as well. And he's feeling good, he says, about Scotty at plus 325 for the U.S. Open. That's what he's got. Scotty Scheffler to win the U.S. Open. Before we get your U.S. Open thoughts, do have picks at VSiN.com/picks. Every host, every guest, no matter the sport, for subscribers, our picks are up at VSiN.com/picks. I had two grass court. We're on grass now. Two grass court tennis picks overnight, one of which was played. We lost. I had Jannik Hanfmann. I had him at plus, well, let me get the exact number right here, at plus 178. He loses to Big T Francis Tiafoe, 7-5, 7-6, lost 7-5 in the breaker. Hanfmann in break points today, 0-11.
Is that good?
It's like it's the quintessential nice handicap. Sorry it didn't work out, buddy.
That sucks, man. That sucks.
0-11. I mean, there are tennis matches you bet where someone goes double digits at opportunities, but they hit a few of them. 0-11. The only one that's left is in Nottingham in England. Heather Watson, the Brit. I have her at plus 185. She's about plus 178 right now against Karolina Pliskova, who used to be awesome on grass. Hasn't played nearly as much through the last few years because of injuries. But I got Watson at plus 185. That's a little later on. U.S. Open, Pinehurst, North Carolina, golf's third major of the year. Scotty Scheffler is your short shot. You, Kelly, have done not one, not two, but 75 episodes of Long Shots this week. We look forward to the broadcast here in about 40 minutes.
Yeah, that's right. Much more detail there, but we can definitely run through everything.
Yeah, what do you got?
Everything here. This is, quick course notes. I think if you are looking to handicap at home yourself, this is a Pinehurst number two is a very different and interesting setup. You can, if you watch any of the flyover video or anything, you'll basically see a very nice golf course, Gil, that looks like a great U.S. Open setup, except instead of 4-inch rough, you just have that all torn out and ripped out and some of these waste areas with wire grass and stuff,
man,
that these guys got to play out of. So what is that going to mean? Well, you want to stay out of that, but you're going to see it talked about it a little bit. You're going to see some really random lies. Like sometimes guys are going to have clean shots out of there. Sometimes they're going to be an absolute disaster. So
I can see some disaster on this overhead.
This is why, yeah. I don't disagree. I made some bets in the winter without Scotty Scheffler market, but I don't disagree with Sia's thought of there could be some, just more variance at a course like this that you might actually be more willing to go up against Scheffler just because some crazy stuff might happen.
And as you pointed out yesterday, it wasn't like he was infallible this past weekend. He wobbled
correct
a lot.
Yeah, he did. He did. And this is where I think you and I were having this conversation off air, but I was asking C and Najat about Cameron Smith because I think he's one of the most often brought up guys I've heard from other golf bettors this week, and with a lot of people on him or against him. And I think reasons for that both make sense. He's an around the greens wizard. Everybody remembers that from the Open last year where he won. This is going to be a tournament where around the green play is very, very important. So that part makes sense. Here's the part that doesn't make sense. And I know Matt Brown's fading him, and I know this is part of the reason why. The guy's gained strokes off the tee in one event in on LIV this year. LIV is not as good as the PGA Tour. If you're not beating the field,
jeez,
gaining off the tee, it means you are not driving the ball very well. And if you're going to be playing out of the wire grass waste areas all tournament long, I don't have much faith in it. I'm staying away. Sounds like C is staying away for the most part, too, because I could see either reality playing out, but not. I'm not interested in that this week. From 2014, seven holes at a bogey or worse percentage at 30% or more. That is a lot. Three putt rate was over 5% in 2014 when they last played here. So you're going to see a lot of that. Greens are going to be very tough. They are extremely firm. I know we have a couple videos of this as well. You're going to see balls hit here that you think are going to be great shots, and they are going to roll right off the green, and then these guys got to play from these shaved-down greens. There were a couple videos floating around of, just these guys dropping balls, and watch this thing just roll.
Tabletop.
Exactly.
Look at that.
This is going to be tough on approach, Gil. This is going to be tough putting that these guys got to deal with this week. And
I love this. This is what the U.S. Open is supposed to be.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be great U.S. Open conditions. You just don't have the really thick rough that we all get used to. So this is, you're going to see a lot of these balls just run off the green and run down into these areas. This is a video of a chip onto the green, and you're going to see this roll right back off.
Odds of someone saying this course is unfair at some point during the week.
Oh, minus 10,000.
Yeah.
So yeah, you're going to see a lot of that. That's important. Important stuff to look at this week. So that, I think it makes a lot of sense for what Sia was talking about. This is called Morikawa, using like a 5-wood around the green. You know, you're going to have to make the decision. Do you want to chip? Do you want to try to just putt it from off the green? Do you want to use a different club like he is? So all that stuff to keep in mind. As far as my bets for the week, a couple outrights I mentioned earlier. Same thing. I bet Morikawa Sunday morning in the outright market. That was all that was posted at that point. And Decky, I had bet, I believe, on Sunday, if not Saturday, 50-1 as well. Guys, I added winner without Scheffler. I did add Keegan there this week. Look, Keegan has been great off the tee. If you were on him last week, sorry, you got the full Keegan Bradley experience, one shot off the lead on Friday and then completely craters over the weekend. But I will be back on him going just for the high end result here with the winner without Scheffler market. And then I added Brooks Gill. When we're talking U.S. Open, tough conditions, mental fortitude, if you will, these guys going to have. There's always one guy you got to think of, and it's Brooks Koepka. So I didn't go crazy with it, but a winner without Scheffler market, I did add him at 18-1. I thought that was a good number I'm willing to go with. Love Scheffler this week. Look, he's number one rated guy. 5 wins last 8 times he's teed it up. Hard to ignore that. I'm with you. Top 5. Let's go. And then my 3 biggest bets this week would be Scheffler top 5 and then Shoffley Morikawa top 10. They were my 2 biggest bets last week. I'm going right back to them. Shoffley and Morikawa, I think, set up perfectly for this. Morikawa is on an absolute heater right now. So him in the top 20 market as well. Tommy Fleetwood, really haven't bet him at all this year. The game's starting to come around, though. Yeah, another. He's not the furthest, not the longest off the tee, not the longest with his irons, Gil, which concerns me a little bit because that is definitely what you need to be looking for this week in a golfer. This is still a long track, no matter how much you hear about accuracy off the tee being more important. These guys still got to bomb it. But like him enough in top 20 market at plus money, plus 138. And then you could go, if you want to aim high on these guys, I decided to play top 40, Sepp Straka and Aaron Rye. Both of them rate out really high for me this week, though. If you wanted to take a longer shot, play them in the top 20 market, I wouldn't hate it. Aaron Rye over Steven Yeager in a tournament matchup. Wipe away all my John Rahm matchups. Those got destroyed. And Hideki Matsuyama is the top Japanese play.
I'm going to ask you a question. You can think about it over the break and give an answer the other end. Is there a current tour player who is a comp to like an Andy North, who only won 3 tournaments in his whole career, but 2 were U.S. Opens? That's the question. You can answer that on the other side. Jason Weingarten joins us as well. Numbers game.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Start betting smarter with a VSiN Pro subscription. Right now, you can upgrade to a VSiN annual. That's a pro annual subscription for just $199. That's down from the regular price of $240. Plus, we're throwing in an extra month absolutely free. With a VSiN Pro subscription, you'll get exclusive access to premium analysis, expert picks, and advanced betting tools that'll give you the upper hand all year long. And here's the big news. Our NFL betting guide is coming out later this month. We're talking June. This guide's your ultimate resource for the football season, packed with detailed team, division, and conference analyses, and, of course, best bets for the upcoming NFL season. Don't miss out on this limited-time deal. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe right now and use promo code ANG to claim your discount bonus month.
ANG like a numbers game.
That catch you off guard there. That is VSiN.com/subscribe now and use promo code ANG. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. They're always showing something behind Kelly here with multiple screens at the D. They're showing Super Bowl 16, Kelly, which is the Niners' first Super Bowl championship. By the way, it's 14-0, I think, at this point. I don't know because they don't show the score back then.
Yeah. Oh, God.
So this is January of 1982. If it is 14-0, I would take the Bengals in-game plus the points because they'll make it closer. That's my guess. I'm going to say around 26-21 as a final. The other thing I was watching here is that there's you lose track of, you know, so that's, what is that? That's over 40 years. That's 43 years ago. There is a guy in the stands that they just showed who is smoking a pipe. You know how, like, in the 70s, it was common, I guess, and this is obviously the early 80s, to that men openly smoked pipes, right? They would light up the end of their thing. So he's in the stands of this football game, and it's just like, it's like, yeah, normal guy. Like, things you don't see in 2024.
How'd that pipe lighting thing go again? How do they do it?
I'm not going to show that again. Did I do it improperly?
I don't know. It's funny.
Okay.
The other one I can't get off my mind cross-handed. Is you talking about switching tennis over to grass season. I think you should do a special podcast through grass season where it's just Gil on grass.
Gil on grass.
Gil on grass.
Gil on grass.
Trick a lot of people into listening to that.
All right. I got two. Before we bring in Jason here, Jason Weingarten, standing by. The question I asked you before the break was, is there an equivalent golfer today to the likes of an Andy North? And Kelly asked me, you mean a guy who just wins majors? I don't know. Specifically a guy who wins the U.S. Open but doesn't win anything else. So in other words, if a golf tournament, if the winner's like, you know, 20 under, he ain't winning. But Andy North won three tournaments in his whole career. Andy North, most people know from ESPN as a golf analyst. But he won two U.S. Opens because that kind of course, he can mentally focus and compete and emerge on top. Is there anyone like that today?
I mean, I think the closest comp to that would be a Brooks Koepka still. I mean, he had 20 PGA Tour wins. Five of them were PGA Championships or U.S. Opens.
Okay.
I also think he's the only guy from a, like, okay, it's a major week. Who are your power ratings being affected at all because it's a major? Like, I think he's the only guy with the magic beans that you boost.
I think you're right. Is it the same magic beans that Mike Tomlin has?
Same magic beans.
Same magic beans. I think that's as good an answer as any. Here's the other thing I want to say, because I asked you this when Liv started. Has your golf betting not been as good since? And remember at the time I said, do you think this will affect your handicapping? And the answer was no.
Yeah, it hasn't been as good. It hasn't been as good, but it's also one of those that the more frustrating part is you can't figure out
why.
Why is it really that's a factor? Is it other things that are factors? You know, whatever.
Yeah, because
like last year, this year's been awful for me.
The shortening of the field, your knee-jerk reaction is, oh, it should go better, but maybe the price issue of that is causing that also. Jason Weingarten joins us from under a cloud of smoke somewhere in Southern California. You can follow him on Twitter at Spreadopedia. Comes to us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Jason?
Pretty good. How's it going? Good. Welcome back.
Thank you, man. I feel like we haven't texted in like a month, man. What's happening? You okay?
Yeah, no, I'm right here.
Okay. Just curious. Yeah. I miss you. That's what I'm saying, Jason. I'm just saying I miss you, man.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. are you betting Rose Zhang every time? Let's start there.
She wasn't in the field this last week. I don't think she's in the field this week, so it helps me, you know, that decision gets paid for itself. I haven't been in some golf this last week, and I don't know if either you guys caught the end of the Scandinavian mixed event.
Oh, man. Talk about bad beats, right, Jason?
Describe it to us, Jason.
Well, I had the guy in first place. I had the guy in second place. And the guy in first place had an 8-shot lead going into Sunday morning. And like, I just kind of felt it, you know, like sometimes, you know, you have a bet and even it's just looking so good. You're like, how am I going to lose this?
Mm-hmm.
And I actually got up to watch it because it was like 4:30 in the morning on Sunday.
Sure.
I was like, yeah, I'm going to get up and watch this totally normal behavior. and he just started, you know, 8 shots becomes 7 shots, becomes 5, 4, 3. But the whole time you're like, well, it's still a 4-shot lead, still 3-shot lead. Still all he has to do is not double bogey 18 to go to a playoff. Like, surely he's not going to double bogey 18. And then he shoots a 77. And, you know, man, is that a way to lose on a Sunday morning?
And the guy in second who you had also kind of
didn't get there. Lynn Grant. She won the event 2 years in a row, which is actually more insult to injury. She was like 100-1 live. I could have just been hitting 100-1 live all morning and had an easy winner.
Oh,
instead, I won a little tiny bit because I did hedge, but I did not win.
Oh, it was a women's tournament in somewhere in Scandinavia.
No. It was a mixed event.
Yes, mixed event.
This was a cool DP World Tour thing where they'll mix up how they do the field sometimes. Oh. And this is I think this is the only tournament they do it, but they do, it's men and women, and it is the women play from tees further up, but other than that, everything's the same, right? Prize money, yeah. All of that. So yes, 8-stroke lead, Sebastian Soderberg blows. And Lynn Grant, right? Was that what it was, Jason?
Yeah, Lynn Grant.
Yeah, she ends up winning.
I was waking up early in the morning.
You said it, Kelly. Sebastian Soderberg blows.
I was too busy waking up early and watching French Open matches at that hour. That was that kind of weekend where it's like 5 in the morning. You're like, okay, what am I watching? Well, sorry about that, Jason. That stinks.
That is brutal.
Yeah. Are you betting any U.S. Open golf this week? Have you made any bets?
I have not thrown any darts yet for the big tournament this week. I do enjoy when Scottie Scheffler's in the field. You get really interesting live numbers because a lot of times the live engines just assume, like, well, he's 4-shot back. He's just going to turn it on and win automatically, which does happen. But when it doesn't, it creates, you know, in running opportunities that I'm usually happy to wait when it comes to golf.
So that's interesting. So what you're saying is with Scheffler, there seems to be some manual adjustment. Is that what you're saying?
Not so much manual, but for example, like when Davis Riley won going into the fourth round of that event a couple weeks ago, Scheffler was the favorite, even though Riley had like a 4-shot lead going into the final round. And then Riley bogeyed early. And Scheffler became even of a shorter favorite. And Riley was like 2-1, even though he still had a 3-shot lead
right.
with like 17 holes to play over Scheffler. The models just assume, you know, Scheffler's going to turn it on because he's the best golfer in the world right now, which just isn't how golf works, especially on non-majors. You don't just win every time because you're the best. And, you know, like it doesn't work like that. But so it's interesting. It's good opportunity to pay attention to live.
It's interesting. It doesn't work like that. He's obviously bucked that more often than not, right? Like he's definitely been an outlier to that. But you're right. Generally speaking, golf does not work that way. You bet any baseball today?
Baseball. So I have one bet today. I bet the Braves. I got +112. You know, the Orioles got to lose sometime. They're playing pretty well right now. They just swept the Rays in a 4-game series. It's a good baseball between them and the Yankees right now.
Yeah. Braves making the playoffs, Jason? We sure about this?
I'm not sure about it. I think there's something like 9-16 since mid-May. I mean, they have holes. You know, you lost Strider, you lost Acuña.
Mm-hmm.
They definitely have some holes to fill.
Yeah, we have this mythical contest here at VSiN, and we took Braves to miss the playoffs as our long shot play. That's graded at the end of the season. It's a very simple little contest. I just think that's worth a shot because even though they have coming into today, I believe they have a 3.5 game lead. As they're the number one wild card. Three obviously get there. I think they're 3.5 game lead over the number two wild card. But generally, with the exception of two or three teams at the bottom, the entire National League is knocking at the door right behind them, right? There's tons of teams that are sneaking up on them. And if any of these teams, like the Padres or the Giants or the D-backs or the Cubs or all, you know, name them, they all refuse to, like, live above .500. But if any of them decide three is all we need to actually have a good sustained run, the Braves could be in trouble, man. They really could be. So
yeah, it might just not be their year this year.
Might not be their year. And if you lose Strider and Acuña, you know, there's no shame in that. And that's how this year has started. Jason, thank you. Appreciate it as always, man.
Thank you. I'll talk to you guys later. Have a good day.
You too. Jason Weingarten, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, again, at Spreadopedia.
Cricket update, USA 80/4 versus India.
You know what that means?
No.
Coming back, our final NBA thoughts next on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
We are this close to crowning an NBA champ. And with the action heating up on the court, it's even hotter at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VSIN. That's code VSIN for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings, the crown is yours. Skill Alexander, Kelly Billen, we get tweets at Beating the Book. Best listeners in the game. Best, no doubt about it. Brian Schaefer, Mariners Guild, just like I told you. If they finish the sweep today, they will be right where I need them. He's talking about MLB most wins in June. You know, it's June 12th. All of us are still excited if we're in this. By the way, Mariners right now, 7-3. So the top of the standings in June, Kelly, because I know you're so curious about
what you
this.
Got?
Yankees 8-2, mm-hmm. Orioles 8-3,
okay.
Reds 7-3, Mariners 7-3, D-backs 7-3. Followed by the Phillies at 6-2, and then the Dodgers and Pirates at 6-3, and the Astros at 6-4, and the Blue Jays at 6-5.
Let's okay. go Astros! But as always, I will be rooting on Mount Castle in Westbeck.
Jeff Holdorf. Jeff Holdorf says to the Andy North extent, but I would call Lucas Glover a U.S. Open style player. By the way, bring back Jardian's Lady number one. The new guy's a poor substitute. Love the show. Thank you, Jeff. I am totally with you. I mentioned this earlier this week. Hate the new Jardian's guy.
Yeah.
Don't know what happened with the first Jardian's girl. Can you, as producer number nine, can you book the first Jardian's girl? Because I would like her to come to the Shield, and I anticipate that if we interviewed her, she might break down sobbing. Like, this could be this could have ruined her life. She's telling all her friends she's the Jardian's girl, and then the next thing you know, the rug was pulled from under her.
There's a whole article about
it. Is there? Are you serious? Oh, you got to forward me that article. I'm so excited.
It's titled, "The Internet Hate for the Jardian's Commercial Lady Likely Caused a Recasting."
Oh, she was the best.
Wow.
Are you serious? And her replacement was supposed to be better?
Yes.
Oh, this is scandal. This is like Scandoval level scandal. Corbin, not sure if you guys have talked about the horrific, not even close to casting of the new Clippers series. Oh, here you go. The big three for the Clips looks like guys pulled off the street. Shows the difference in production for HBO Hulu compared to the Showtime Lakers show. Have you seen this Clippers series?
Okay, so I haven't because I'm very excited about it, but I don't know if you're like this with shows. Like, there's only like two episodes or something up. It just started like a week or two ago. Like, I need a few more to build up because I know as soon as I sit down to watch, like, I'm going to want to watch more than just one episode. So I'm waiting. The early returns have been the overwhelming, has been the casting is ridiculous.
You got to cast these well.
Yeah. And so, it's, like, you have Lawrence Fishburne playing Doc Rivers. You have that. And then Ed O'Neill is Donald Sterling, I believe.
Oh, stop it. Yes. Are you serious?
I mean, I believe the whole concept for the show is around the Donald Sterling era Clippers.
Oh, that makes sense. But Ed O'Neill got cast in that?
Yes.
Al Bundy. And the guy on Modern Family.
Yep.
All right. Trip Tepper, my Andy North comp would be Webb Simpson. Well, that's interesting.
That's a good one. There was a couple good tweets in.
Numbers guy said Ben Curtis with the U.S. Open and runner-up at PGA. Steve Stricker's a little more accomplished. And Hale Irwin, who was a stud and played college football, I think, at Colorado. That's back in the day, though. And this finally from Keen, Crane Pool. He says, mentioning pipe smoking at sporting events back in the day, going to the New York Rangers games in the 70s and 80s, the between periods activity in the stairwell of the upper deck blue seats of MSG had plenty of pipe smoking. No tobacco in those pipes. Yes, I was referring to actual tobacco in the pipes at this Super Bowl. But yes, what he's referring to, Washington Bullets, Washington Capitals used to play at the Capitol Center, Kelly, before your time.
Okay.
This was in Landover, Maryland.
Sweet.
Abe Polin, the owner of these two teams at the time, thought it'd be much quicker to build an arena outside of D.C., so he did so. And so for my whole childhood, they played at the Capitol Center. If you flew into D.C., you saw this, like, it looked like a golf bunker. And the Bullets won a championship there, and the Caps played there as well. And not so much at Bullets and Caps game, but we had the concert, people in the DMV will remember this, called Back to School Boogies,
okay.
Right before the school year started. And it was a bunch of go-go groups, D.C. Genre, go-go groups and rap groups, early 80s. When you walked into the Capitol Center, I'm talking 19,000 people, it smelled like what we used to call reefer from right when you walked in. It was so pungent. And my thought at the time was, Abe Polin probably doesn't know about this, right? Because he built the arena. Anyway, that's a good
one. Those hip kids are calling it the reefer.
That's what we called it back then. All right, NBA. We started with NBA. We'll close with NBA. Game 3 tonight between the Mavericks and the Celtics. The Mavericks, during this show, have gone up to a 3-point favorite now in Game 3. We don't have an official word on Kristaps Porzingis. I have speculated, and it is only speculation, that he can't, like, What was the other thing this week? That Dan Hurley was going to coach the Lakers. I think this is less likely than Dan Hurley ever coaching the Lakers. I never bought into that either, right?
I agree with you.
I just don't think he plays tonight. Why? If you're the Celtics, why would you play him tonight? You're up 2-0. You don't know the extent of this injury. Why would you play him?
I do think the conversation gets tough, though, of the, okay, like, it's all about a championship, right? But, like, when you look at this Celtics team, like, you got to think, you do have to think a little bit long term, too. Like, this is dynasty.
Well, this is what I mean. This is why I said earlier, I don't think he plays, forget tonight. He's definitely not playing tonight. I don't think he plays the rest of the series.
I doubt he does, too.
Because you have to think beyond this. I know it's the NBA Finals. I know it's the NBA Championship. But you're in a position right now where you can't be thinking about him. Now, Kelly's point is also a valid one. Does that even move the needle? If, in fact, this cracks open the door for the Mavericks, are the Mavericks skilled enough here to take that opening and exploit it? And you have your doubts, is what you're saying.
I do. I real quick on the line move. I don't think I'm going to get there. This is too much, though, Gil.
That was going to be my next question.
We're closing 7.5 game one, and we're going all the way on the other side to Celtics catching 3.
Yeah.
In game 3 here with how they've played the first two games.
That's going to be my next question, man.
Like, I know we've got all the trends in the world of what you know, 0-2, heading back home, yeah, the home team, yada, yada, yada. That's a big, big line move from where we closed at in game 1. So, I'm just saying, that would be the only side I would consider tonight if I was going into this with zero bets. I think I'll be sitting on the sidelines.
We always talk about this in football primarily. How much is this player worth? How much is this quarterback worth, mm-hmm. right?
Well, I thought this before Porzingis. When it was 1.5-2, it was okay, that's aggressive.
So now Porzingis. So this was 1.5 yesterday. It was 2 when we started the show. Went to 2.5. Now it's 3. Literally nothing we've seen. This is the problem with, like, the there's nothing we've laid eyes on in games 1 or 2 that justify this. By the way, did you see? I know you did because I think you said you had the compilation that someone put together of the blowbys of Luka Doncic in this series.
Oh yeah. Oh shoot, there's one out there from just game 2. It's like 14 blowbys in game 2.
This is horrible.
I'm glad you brought this up. And JVT hit on this a little bit. I have gone a complete 180 from how I talked about Daniel Gafford before this series. What one thing that ended up working a little bit at the second half of game 2 was Gafford back in there and them just accepting, because what was happening time after time is blow by Luka, get into the paint, usually Tatum or Brown, getting into the paint, collapsing defense, and it led to a wide open pass to a cutter or someone at the three-point line. You can't let these Celtics, I mean, Drew Holiday scoring nonstop at the rim is not something you can allow. I know you don't want the Celtics team shooting threes, still make them take a three instead of a wide open layup. So one thing that did seem to affect that was them biting the bullet, putting Gafford in there, and just saying, we can't let them get offensive rebounds, and we've got to have someone stopping easy baskets at the rim. So I do think you're going to see a lot more Gafford tonight than I would have said before the series. I thought this was going to be a big Derek Lively series. He's kind of played himself off the court in a lot of these situations. Gafford has proven to be a little bit more successful with that. The other big thing is what JVT was talking about earlier. No, okay, Porzingis out. We'll assume he's out for the sake of this conversation. Horford steps up. There's about 20 more minutes that got to be filled then from Porzingis being out. Dallas can attack those 20 minutes where they don't have to worry about 5 out for the most part.
That's right.
Everybody on the court shooting, they can get away with one of their big centers being in there and protecting the paint. Those minutes will be absolutely crucial tonight, and I do think that Gafford will be a big part of that. So, rebounds, points over, if you wanted to consider that, I wouldn't mind it. My only bet's PJ Washington over points. You could go over points and rebounds. He's been one of the few Mavericks playing very well. He's taken advantage of these small matchups that he's had.
We're going to see Hardaway?
What's that?
We see Hardaway?
Okay, I'm glad you brought that up. I've been pounding the table to see him. Like, you can't go down scoring 80 and 90 points in these NBA Finals games. You got to get offense out there. He was their third leading scorer throughout the season. Just can't play defense. Porzingis changes that a little bit, I think. I think if Porzingis is out, it doesn't force their hand as much to have to go to that. But if the offense is still bogged down and not working, it doesn't change it at all. Maxi Kleba, I don't want to see him on the court.
if here's the thing, if the Mavericks win tonight, no one's going to be that shocked. At least I won't be. And then it will change the entire narrative of this, right?
Check in with me. If there's like a second lob or third lob that goes down, yeah. Check in with me because I'll be jumping up and down.
But you're not taking the Celtics plus three yet, just officially?
No.
Okay. If it ticks up any more, you might, though. Yeah, it's getting there. We've done all we can do. Gojo and Golic next on the radio side, on the picture side. It's Best Bets. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.